Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for desiring to reside inside of us. And Lord, all we have to do is accept the free gift. And so, Father, this morning we thank you so much. And it is so awesome to gather together as a church family and just say Merry Christmas. That Christ was born. And Father, we thank you for that incredible, incredible offering. And so, Father, right now, Lord, as we begin to talk about this offering, may we be reminded of the awesome privilege we have of bringing you glory, even if it's just a little bit. And so, Father, may we also glean the fact that we are to love one another as you have loved us. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, and we are always looking forward to opening your word and seeing what you have in store for us. And we ask this in Jesus' incredible and precious name. Amen. Awesome. You may be seated. Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I love it. You know, some people get hung up. I know some Christians that get hung up if someone says back to them, Happy Holiday. It doesn't bother me because, like, I was at the store and I ran into someone who knew me, and for the life of me, I could not remember who they were. But I said, Merry Christmas, and they looked at me and they said, Happy Holiday. I said, yes, a very holy day. And they looked at me like, okay, touche. Because that's what holiday means. It means a holy day, and that's what we are celebrating. So I don't get messed up. I prefer Merry Christmas, but if they say Happy Holiday, I say, yes, it's a holy day. And then they're all upset at me. So just you can follow suit. Just be warned, they will not be happy. For everyone, let's say you don't have family in town, or maybe you do have family and you want some more grub. They're going to be cooking up some turkeys, some hams. They're going to have a ton of food. So if you know someone who is in need or just would like to come and have fellowship, or if you're just a party animal and you can't get enough of it, come at 2 o'clock, and they're gonna have a great time of just praising the Lord and breaking bread. So 2 o'clock right here in our fellowship hall, Christmas dinner. Also next week for New Year's Eve, we're having one service next week as well. My guess is there's going to be a lot of people that are going to stay up late and they're not want to get up early. So that'll be the only. Then we'll be back to our two services. By the way, how many of you were here last night for the candlelight? Okay. We were packed to the wall. It was amazing. We had every chair out. There was only like maybe 3 empty chairs, and there were some people standing. It was really great. Very exciting. And so I'm glad to see you all here this morning. I'm surprised. So next week, New Year's, one service, and then we'll be back to our normal 2 services. So keep that in mind. All right. Well, this morning I've entitled my message, The Gift of God. Now, prayerfully, did all of y'all open up your gifts this morning? Did you do that already? Did anyone not? Is anyone waiting till after service? Oh, yeah, there's a couple. We almost did that, but instead we woke up the kids at 5 in the morning. Merry Christmas. They're like, yeah, I'll get you for this. No, they were so excited they didn't care what time it was. We're going to look at the gift of God, which is the supreme gift. It is what Christmas is truly all about. Now, I want you to know this as well. I've never given 3 topical Christmas messages back to back to back. Last Sunday, I taught on Christmas. Last night, I gave a different message on Christmas. And this morning is a different message on Christmas. So this was really a stretch. So I prayed and prayed last night about what to share. And so what I'm going to give you this morning is fresh manna from the Lord. He told me to teach on this. So here you go. Enjoy. Let's pray first. Father, once again, we come to you, and Lord, we thank you for that incredible gift of Jesus Christ. But Lord, also, Father, we pray that this morning we would be receiving fresh manna. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit would teach us and speak to us and encourage us as we partake of your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Christmas, we understand, even from a secular standpoint, that Christmas is about giving. It's about gifts. But I want you to know that the true meaning of Christmas isn't about opening presents. It's about opening up our hearts. Opening up our hearts to what God has in store for us. So with your Bibles, and I noticed the ushers handed out some for those of you who want to follow along, you have probably opened up because you saw in the bulletin that it said Romans 6:22. Romans 6:22 is not the normal Christmas verse that most pastors would teach on, but it's actually very apropos. And it says this, Romans 6:22, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, Jesus is the gift. Even if someone does not want to accept the gift, he's still the gift. If I have a gift for someone that I purchased and I go to give it to them and they reject it, it's still a gift. It hasn't diminished in its value. It becomes an unappreciated gift by the person it was intended for, but it still has its value. It still was meant to be given in love, and it was still something that was purchased in with care and with concern. So if someone is here today and you decide to walk out this morning and you say, well, it was a great Christmas message, but I don't want to receive Christ, that's up to you. It doesn't diminish who Christ is. It doesn't diminish how magnificent he is. It's just a gift that was offered to you in love and care, and it only is unappreciated in one person's heart, and that would be the one who walks out this morning without receiving the gift of God. Because the gift of God is eternal life. Where is it found? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if you would, let's stay right here, but I want to add verse 23. Notice it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, we have to work at sin. When I wasn't saved, I worked very hard at sin. In fact, my whole week of work was planning for more sin on the weekends. I sinned little on the weekdays, and I sinned big on the weekends, and then I needed to go back to work to get some rest. It was sad. It was very, very sad. But the cool part is, notice this, the wages of sin, because, you know, if you work a job, you get a wage, so the wages of sin is death, but the gift, it's gift, you don't have to pay for it. God pays for it, and he offers it to you. All you have to do is receive it. Now, the gift of God is eternal life. It's a free gift. So as a side note, I want you to understand that also sanctification is free too. And you say, sanctification, what is that? Sanctification is the process of being made holy. See, if I say justification, this is just for you, you can get this down. Justification means just as if I've never sinned. Sanctification is the process of being made holy. So if the free gift is eternal life, guess what? Sanctification is free too. The process of being made holy. Here, let me prove it. Because I gave you Romans 6:22 part B. I want you to look at 6:22 part A. But now having been set free, you've been set free. If you receive Christ, you're set free. Having become slaves to God, and you have your fruit to holiness and the end of everlasting life. So the sanctification process is free. All you have to do is open up. You know, so many people say, well, I don't want to go to church until I clean up my life. But Jesus Christ came down as a baby. He did all the work. He did all of the sacrifice for us. He gave up heaven to come to earth so that you and I can be made holy and have a free gift of salvation. All we have to do is receive it. And then we learn, once, listen, like a package, you know, when I received some gifts this morning, you know, they all are valuable to me because I know they're given in love. But different gifts have different value depending on what they are. Also, sometimes some different gifts cost more and cost less. We don't know until you open up the gift. We don't begin to realize, I didn't realize how valuable Jesus was until I received him and he opened up my eyes. And then I begin to see just how valuable a gift receiving Christ is. You see, if you haven't received Christ, then you really don't understand how valuable. It's still a closed package to you. You know, I remember as a kid, I couldn't wait to see what was inside those boxes and wrapped up in those presents. You know, I'd try and find sneaky ways to sneak a peek. Weigh it, you know, shake it around. Oh, that's a sweater. Right? Come on. You're laughing because you do it too, huh? Yeah. I wish people were more curious about the gift of Christ. To sneak a peek. Let me tell you, once you get a view of Jesus, all other things pale in comparison. Listen, giving is always to be done freely in order for it to have meaning. Listen, one of the things that I have a problem with, Valentine's Day. Why? Well, because Valentine's Day, everybody's buying flowers for their loved one and candies and stuffed bears. So you're just basically following suit. Oh, here I got you what every other person got this year. But for me, I think that for my wife, it's more valuable when I just do it randomly because I love her. You see, a gift is always better when it's done freely and spontaneous. Listen, the fact that God came down when he came down, the fact that he came down in the flesh and he did it freely, purely out of his love for you and I is amazing. He didn't have to. Now, I also want to give you before we go any further, I'm going to give you on the onset, you're going to think, man, that's pretty base and shallow and materialistic. But as I unfold this, I think you're going to see that it's really not. Let's say there was a poor man standing right next to Bill Gates, and you decided to benevolently help the poor man out financially or food or whatever he needed. You wanted to help him out. And Bill Gates is standing there. Now, from a humanistic or materialistic standpoint, we would want Bill Gates to show gratitude for what we did for the poor man more than the poor man to show gratitude, because the poor man doesn't have anything to show gratitude with. I'm speaking materialistically, not Christian knees. But in all actuality, when I give to you, I would rather receive from God, who has all the riches in the world, eternal riches, than to receive from someone else or even receive back from you. That's the beauty of love. And by the way, even if Bill Gates were standing here, he cannot give me more than what God has given me. In fact, for me to share Christ with him would be more valuable than all that he could ever muster to give back to me. Because whatever he gives to me will rust, will fade away, will be broken, or will be stolen, or I'll die and I can't take it with me. I'd much rather have the blessings of God. And here's my point. When I give unto you, I don't look for something back from you. I look from God to give me blessings. And I'm not talking about materialistically. I'm saying I might not get a blessing till I get to heaven, and I'm cool with that, because that's going to last eternally. You see, that's the heart of Christmas. The heart of Christmas is to give and not be looking to receive back. But that's not the heart of Christmas today, is it? Well, here, since you got me something, well, I feel obligated to get you something. You ever have those situations, someone got you something, it's like, well, I didn't get anything for you. You feel obligated. Well, God doesn't respond that way. He gave more than you and I could ever, ever give by coming down as a baby in the flesh. And all he says is, I just want to love you. I just want your love. I just want you to love me back. I don't want you to give. You don't have to give me anything. Isn't that cool? You know, I thought about this. Why is it that diamonds are a girl's best friend, but a dog is man's best friend? Shouldn't it be, it either has to be this. Diamonds are a girl's best friend, and a Corvette is a man's best friend. Right? Or dog is man's best friend, and a kitty cat is a girl's best friend. You see, that kind of makes sense. But a diamond is a girl's best friend, and a dog, well, you know what? In all actuality, we get the better end of the deal because a dog is loving. A diamond's cold. I'd rather have the love than the diamond. But that's not what society is trying to implement into our minds. What society wants us to see is that love is expressed by the value of the gift given. Oh, yeah, yeah, Susie and Tony, they got me this, but Sally, oh, they got me that. They must really love me. Really? I'd rather have just a hug, honestly, and to know you love me for real and not just a pat on the back. Wouldn't you? Well, see, that's the thing. That's the greatest gift God gave. God gave the greatest gift was to just let you know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He so loved. He didn't give us diamonds. What for? He gave us puppy dogs, but that's not the greatest gift. The greatest gift was Jesus Christ as a baby. And by the way, the spirit of Christmas for Christians is giving. That's the Christian heart. As God gives gifts of eternal life, we in turn should give that to others. So see, it is truly. But here's the thing. God, do you realize that God never asked us to do anything that he didn't do first? Never did. Like, God wants us to serve. Well, what did Jesus do? Serve. Wash feet, feed, tirelessly, teach, to speak about his Father. God wants us to give salvation out. Tell others. Well, he gives it to us first, right? We get it first. God gave his only begotten son. Watch this. God gave his only begotten son, John 3:16. Then the son gave his life, 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And the risen Son has given us the Holy Spirit. So see, the Father gives us the Son, then the Son gave his life, then Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit as he ascends. This is what he says in John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. From the Holy Spirit, we receive spiritual gifts. So God gave the Son gave his life, then the Son gives us the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. You know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all three God. And all three of them are just keep giving us gifts. It's like, here's my son. Then his son says, here's my life. Then he says, here's the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit comes and says, here, let me give you some gifts. 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are diversity of gifts, verse 4, but the same Spirit. Then jump down to verse 7 of 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for, listen to this, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. You see, the Holy Spirit gives me gifts so that I can be a blessing to you and impart those gifts to you to bless you. Isn't that interesting? And then he says, for to one is given the word of wisdom by the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So, the Father's a giver, the Son's a giver, the Holy Spirit's a giver. Do you kind of see a pattern here? Jesus said it's far better to give than to receive. That baby in the manger said it was, when he grew up, said, no, it's better to give than to receive. I like what Amy Carmichael says. She says this, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Uh-oh. See, I can give you a gift and go, oh, that guy. I had to do it because he got me something. It's like, you know, I feel obligated. It's like, that's not loving. But you know what? I can give and do it just because I love you, and I don't care if you give me. I just want to see you happy. I just want to see you filled with joy. So that's what God does. That's the gift of God. And I want you to know this. As God is a giver, as the Son is a giver, as the Holy Spirit is a giver, you cannot outgive God. You can't. Now, here's my question for you. Because next week we end this year and we go to 2017. It's funny, the other night we were praying, my wife and I and a group of people, and I was praying, Lord, bless 2018. I was like, they said, what happened to 17? I'm like, I don't know what year it is. Anyways, listen, here's my question. Do you want God to bless you this year, in 2017? Do you want him to bless the things that you put your hands to? Of course you do, right? If I ask who wants to be blessed this next year, I would pray that everybody would raise their hand. I wouldn't pray that, no, I don't want to be blessed. No. Of course you do. Well, then, here's my first suggestion. Don't be a Scrooge. Bah, humbug. Don't do that. Okay? Listen, either we believe God's promises or we don't. If we don't, we make God to be a liar. He's not a liar. Nobody in here would ever, even an unbeliever, if you say, is God a liar? I ain't going to say he's a liar. No, nobody's going to, because he's not. There's no real alternative. You'll find, in fact, here's the thing. You'll find more promises in the Bible about generosity than anything else. Why? Because it's a principle God wants us to learn from him. You see, he set the example. He gave his Son. He gave the Spirit. He gives them. He gives and gives and gives. In fact, everything we have is of him. Our time, God is the creator of time. He has your days numbered. It's from him. Your talent, it's from him. You can play the most wicked kazoo. Awesome. That was from the Lord. Kazoo away in the name of the Lord. Listen, whatever your ability is from God. He gave it to you. If you can speak audibly, that's from the Lord. Whatever you are, whatever you have, is from God. And whatever you don't have is because he said, you know what, you don't need that. Listen, I'm not rich, never will be rich, because he knows I can't handle it. And I'm okay with that. I love where the Lord has me. So let's ask this. If God gives gifts, and we know he does, what kind of gifts does God give? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect, right? He lived a sinless life. But what do television advertisers tell us? You want to give her the perfect gift? Come to Zales. It's her best friend. You want to get, ladies, you want to get him the perfect gift? Come to Bass Pro Shop. Get him out on the lake. Get him that bass boat. Listen, it's not a perfect gift. Listen, that's not a perfect gift at all. All those things fade and fail and break down. And man, if you've ever owned a boat, you know it's more trouble than it's worth. It's like, yeah, I want a boat. 6 months later, for sale. I just wanted to cruise one time on the lake. It's too much work. I'm selling that puppy. You don't believe me? Get on Craigslist or wherever they put those things. I never buy those kind of things, but anyways. But it just doesn't last. Listen, the gift God gives, not only is it perfect, but he never runs out. God never runs out of Jesus to give out. It's always free. It doesn't cost you a dime. His value never depreciates. He never arrives late. There's never a back order on Jesus. He'll never wear out and break down. He is perfect. He's the perfect gift always. What is so wonderful is that because he doesn't run out, because he's so plentiful, you and I have an inexhaustible amount of Jesus that we can give out if we would just do it. So God gives gifts. God is our example of a gift giver. The spirit of Christmas is giving gifts. You wouldn't know that if you looked out in the world, but for the Christian heart, that's what it's supposed to be. And so he wants us to learn how, from him. Learn from me, Jesus said, for I'm meek and lowly. He wants us to learn to give God our talents. Can you sing? Then sing. Can you know how to hold a baby? Go hold a baby and bless someone. Can you hand out a bulletin? Hand them out. Can you preach the gospel? Preach it. All the abilities we have are from God in the first place. He's not asking us to give out anything that he hasn't equipped us with. Isn't that cool? Also, know this. And you'll know this. If you've been coming here any length of time, the only time I talk about this topic is when it comes up in Scripture. That's the only time. But he wants us to give of our finances. He does. Listen, here's what Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. There is one who withholds that is more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be rich, but he who waters will also be watered. And he who waters will also be watered himself. So listen, basically this, you water others, you'll be watered. You're generous, God will generously bless you. Now, understand this, I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about your time, your treasure, your talents. I'm talking about the whole thing. It's all a part of it. And by the way, when it comes to giving, it takes tremendous amount of faith to give to God. It really does. I remember when I learned the lesson, I would go month to month, barely making ends meet, oftentimes feeling like I'm sinking in the hole. But then the day came when I said, nope, I'm a Christian. Do I believe in what God says in his word?
Yeah.
Well, then how come I'm not living it? And I started living it, and that no longer became an issue in my life. And our treasurers, we've had a couple, will tell you. They've come to me, Pastor Randy, it doesn't look too good. I'm like, well, it's not my, why are you coming to me? Let's just pray to God. It's his house. And I'm worried about it. And I really didn't worry about it. And guess what? Like 2 weeks later, oh, hallelujah, the Lord took care of it. I go, yeah, it's his house. You think God's going to let his house get run down? But it comes down to your own life. And your own personal willingness to be generous. Here's what Deuteronomy. Remember, I asked you if you wanted this next year to be a blessing. Deuteronomy 15:10. Give generously to them and do so without grudging, without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord will bless you in all your work and everything you put your hand to. Ta-da! You said, I want God to bless me this next year and everything I put my hand to. And I said, well, then don't be a Scrooge. Well, here you go. Deuteronomy 15:10. Give generously of your time, your treasure, your talents. I did not ask for that. My iPad wants to play music. Okay. It's happy. Okay. Yeah, it's making it. Even my iPad gives worship. No, so remember David? David in 2 Samuel 7, he knew that God had prospered him. He knew that God had given him rest from his enemies. And one day he looked around at how comfortable his home was. And by the way, if you live in America, I don't care how poor you feel, you are rich compared to third world countries. We are rich and spoiled. And so he looked around at how prosperous he was and how God had defeated his enemies. And then he looked at the tabernacle, which was a tent, and he looked at the holy, the Ark of the Covenant, how he thought to himself, I dwell in a house of cedar, and the Ark of God dwells in a tent made of curtains. He says, not so. I'm going to build him a temple. And then God said, by the way, no small undertaking. God said, no. Thank you, David. Oh, you're a man after my own heart. Thank you. But I love this. Even at the thought that David was willing to give his all to build God a temple, then God says this in the same chapter. He says, the Lord also declared to you that the Lord will make you a house. Wait, I already live in a house. No. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. So God says, you wanted to build me a temple, a house for the ark? Man, David, don't do that. I love the fact that you were willing to give to me all of that because it's no little task. But it's not for you to do, but I'm going to do this for you because you wanted to give to me. You can't outgive me. So he says, I'm going to make you a house. And you and your family, your name will endure forever. And guess what? Jesus Christ, that baby, came from that promise that God made because this guy was willing to give to God. You see, we never know when we give to God what God is going to do in return. It will always, always, always be greater than what we offer. Why? The spirit of Christmas is not about what you get, but what you give. I like what Gilbert said in prayer this morning. He said, a true gift isn't what we wrap in paper and shove under the tree. The true gift was what was wrapped in flesh and hung on the tree. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to preach this morning. Gilbert, get up there. That was awesome. So remember, Christmas, as we begin, I'm going to read a couple more verses for you. But as a reminder, we can't outgive God. While he invites us to give our gifts, our time, our treasure, our talents, and give our offerings, he will always give us far more. Now, I'm not talking about some people, some churches, some people get this mentality, okay, well, I'm going to put my check in, and I'm just going to wait here for the Lord to rain some money down on me. That's not what he's talking about. Like I said earlier, you may give unto the Lord your time, your treasure, your talents, and you won't get your reward until you get in heaven, but that reward will never fade away. But I also know this, which is my life verse from the very first day I read this verse, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be added to you. All else. What does all mean? All. Joy, peace, family, relation, job, finance. Everything is added to you. Maybe not the way you want. I'll never be rich. I'm rich with the beautiful wife I have. Incredibly. I'm not. Yes, all, but it's true. Now, she's being punished, but I'm Malachi 3:10 says this, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Listen to this. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Hello. You see the promises of God? Is God a liar? Did he send his son to show you how he can give and how he loves you?
Yes.
Hello. This Christmas, you can give the best, truly give the perfect gift. And it doesn't come from Bass Pro Shop or Zales. It comes from the Lord himself. You can tell someone about Jesus Christ. You can decide to give your time, your treasure, and your talents. Remember the three, we say three wise men. We don't know. It could have been 15. The wise men who came to see Jesus because they followed the star. Why does God call them wise? Well, he calls them wise because they came to give. They gave gifts and they gave worship. And on top of that, they were wise enough to look at the stars and go, there's a Messiah born. Let's go. Time to giddy up. But the wise men came, and they were wise. Even God calls them wise. And what did they come? Bringing gifts to Jesus and bringing worship. The gifts were worship unto him. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of your increase. I like what Winston Churchill said. He says, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. I like that. And we can give someone eternal life. We, you and I, can give someone eternal life by simply at this time saying, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. He was born as a baby to die, to love you. That, have you received that gift? Because if not, don't miss out. Don't reject the package. You don't know what's inside, but you open it up. And I promise you, if you look inside, if you look into Jesus, you'll realize that everything else that you've ever gotten on your whole lifetime of every Christmas pale in comparison to that baby who was God in the flesh. There's an Elvis Presley song I like, except for the last verse that talks about Santa Claus. But I like the chorus. Surprise, shocking to you that I like an Elvis song, but yes. But here's the words, and I want to close with the words with this, and I want to answer this. I want to answer this song. He says, why can't every day be like Christmas? Why can't that feeling go on endlessly? For if every day could be just like Christmas, what a wonderful world this would be. Why can't every day be like Christmas? It can. All we have to do is be willing to give more than we receive. And other people get the benefit. And for them, it's Christmas. I pray that I can give to y'all from my life as a pastor. And that when you come around me, you walk away saying, man, he gives me love. He cares about me. He gives. He's just a giver. Because then for you, every day is like Christmas. And for me, every day I please the Lord. Does it get any better than that? Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, what a beautiful, beautiful offering. What a beautiful example you have set for us. Holy Spirit, you shower us with gifts, spiritual gifts. You empower us. And Father, you dwell in us. And Jesus, you did not deny even your own body, Lord. You left the heavenly realm. You left the glorious palace of heaven. And you came down to earth and you said, the birds have their nests and the foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, because you gave all You gave it all up so that we might be blessed. And now, Lord, you are in glory, deserving the reward of glory because you gave. Father, may we count ourselves blessed to know that we have opened up and looked inside the package and we see the beauty and the value of a gift that is truly the perfect gift, the one that came down from heaven, the one who served, the one who gave his all and did not accumulate, and then to die on the cross and to receive glory. Oh, God, you're so amazing. And so, Father, as we pick this day randomly, we know it's not the day that you were really born. But we pick this day and we set it aside and we say this is going to be a holiday, a holy day for us. And, Father, we just got to say we love you and thank you for giving us the best gift ever. Now may we share it with others. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. May they feel the love. May they feel you, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts. Move upon them. And, Father, we just thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you. Because you are holy, holy, holy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.